Hey, so welcome so much, Jess's family, parents, grandparents, friends. It's really, really cool. Oh, and Jakey, but you're not really that welcome. As welcome, part of the furniture. And the Mannings that have travelled from afar, Nathaniel, Jacob, welcome, you guys. Yeah, really awesome to have you guys here and celebrating such an awesome day. And so, yeah, I mean, as a church family, just absolutely chuffed. So, absolutely stoked. So, yeah, it's really, really exciting time and season ahead, especially in the coming weeks and months. Yeah. Yeah, right. So, I was thinking this week about how grateful I am to be able to meet each Sunday morning together. As, like, for me, it really helps me to make time to focus on who God is and what God is up to in the lives of people that I care about and how God might be wanting to meet with me. Just been thinking a bit about that. Well, Mosaic Youth kicked off on Friday, and we had a heap of fun. Here's a picture of Libby and others trying to eat a donut without their hands, and the donut is tied up, and it's linked over that pole at the top, and the string goes down onto the big toe, and so you sort of got to control it and eat it like that. So it was quite fun. I reckon I'd be tempted to pay quite a bit of money to watch some of you guys do that. If you want to, you know, nominate people, we could do that one day. But summer's been pretty awesome so far, hasn't it? I mean, in terms of weather, it can be a bit boring talking about weather, but it's sort of relevant to the text today. Loving the still hot days. When Tim and Lance and Mike and I were away on our bikepacking trip in Central Otago a couple of weeks ago, we had some glorious weather as well. One morning, we were hanging out in Clyde, and we're cruising along some quiet roads and eating some fresh stone fruit that had been left out by one of the local orchards, and it was just quite lovely. But then we started climbing over a mountain range, and the wind picked up, and I was walking and riding in three layers, which is unheard of for me. It doesn't really happen. Two layers max, too hot otherwise, but that's me at the top of, I think it's Old Woman Range. It's called, yeah. It's not just one hill. I thought, oh, we're at the top. Oh, no. Just keeps on going. A couple of days earlier, the day had started out fine as well. But we missed the Mount Pisa section of this route we were doing near Cromwell and Lake Dunstan. It would have been our day three. But here's a bit of Katie's story, who did do that part of it, who was up pretty high, a little bit higher than what we were at that point, where that photo was taken.
Yeah, that's about right.
Got my lines all wrong.
That's not Katie.
So we're that's getting Katie into 1800 metre climb. Alright, so we've come up through the clouds and now the rain has started. But you can see where we've come from. We've done a good job. Put my rain jacket on so I don't get too soaking. It's pretty hot though. But yeah, if it doesn't stop all day, I don't want to be too wet. Could be Scotland. I've now got every layer on that I have with me. It's starting to get really cold, so I'm jumping around a little bit. This is the last bit of shelter. I've got about 400 metres to go in about a couple of kilometres, so this is going to be a big push, and then I'm getting off this hill and hopefully not getting too hypothermic. This I might actually make it. Be alright. Not die. Can see Cromwell down there where we're heading.
Sounds like fun, eh? Looks like fun. Good times. Woo-hoo. Who wants to join in next time? Oh, yeah, it was pretty full on. Although that wasn't us. Yes. Possibly a good decision to turn around. Some managed to keep going. But these quick changes, really quick extreme changes in weather, they're also a feature in Galilee where Jesus is in our reading earlier. To this day, the car parks on the western shore have signs warning drivers of what happens in high winds. The sea can get very rough very quickly, and big waves can swamp cars that are parked on what looks like a safe beach. A boat on the lake would suddenly get tossed around like a child's toy. The writer of this sailing story is Mark. And Mark was shown how to learn from Jesus by Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples. Mark wrote a whole lot of Jesus' life down, and he's mainly interested in exploring the question, who is Jesus? From what Jesus says and does, from how he interacts with people, from how he talks about God and to God, who is Jesus? And what might this mean for us? It's a great question for us as readers today too, whether we've known Jesus for a long time or are just starting out getting to know him. For Jesus' disciples in that boat, for those who then heard of this encounter in the subsequent days and weeks and years, and for those who read Mark's account of this when it was written down about four decades later, there are some things that would have jumped out at them about who Jesus is. Perhaps things different to what might stand out to us. For example, early hearers of this story would have heard of the storm and thought of Jonah, and how he had, how he sailed in a boat away from what God wanted, which led to a great storm that became calm when, at his request, Jonah was thrown overboard. Or original hearers might think of the Israelites leaving slavery and God making a way for them to cross through the sea safely. Or they might think back to the poetic stories of creation when God's new world emerged from the dark, mysterious sea. Or Psalms that speak of God ruling the raging sea might come to mind. You see, the Jewish people in Jesus' day were not fans of water, apart from fishing. The sea had come to symbolize for them the power of evil, threatening to destroy God's good creation, God's people, and God's purposes. Like in the book of Daniel, the sea is where monsters came from. And so, when Jesus rescues the disciples in a storm, we are witnessing something that clearly says God's power is being unleashed, or God's kingdom is at hand. Or yet another way of saying this, Jesus is God in the flesh, showing us power over what brings us fear. Jesus doing this wasn't expected, but he's clearly the real deal. Jesus isn't a Jonah who is running away. Rather, Jesus is what Daniel calls the Son of Man. A son of man who sends the monsters from the sea running. Jesus is defeating the chaotic forces that are linked in people's minds to the sea. And that this story shows us that Jesus is more powerful than people's fears. Back then, it was the fear of the wind and the rain forming a storm in the sea. Jesus is so confident in who God is and who he is as loved by God, and confident in God's presence and goodness, that he's not bothered at all by this common fear. He's asleep on a cushion, or a pillow, as the CEV puts it. Yet the disciples are a bit hoo-ha. They're a bit grumpy. Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown? So Jesus gets up and addresses their fears. Quiet, be still, be calm. And the wind drops, and everything becomes calm. And Jesus turns the question around, asking them, why were you so frightened? Where is your faith? Who is Jesus and what is he like? Jesus is just going about his everyday with the disciples. And Mark keeps telling us of confrontations they have with the things that aren't good or right with the world, as we'll see again next week. This week we find Jesus asleep in the midst of others' worst fears, storms at sea. Yet he is God's power to bring calm and to deepen faith. A short while later, Mark will be telling us of another encounter Jesus has with a dangerous power that seeks to destroy. And this will find him not asleep on a cushion, but slumped on a cross. And like how he brought calm in today's story and asked about people's faith, shortly he will ease people's fears of him being dead by coming back to life again. He's stronger than the fear associated with the sort of power that seeks to destroy. So Mark invites us in the story to turn to Jesus in our fears, to pray, and to not be surprised when the storm comes and Jesus asks us about our faith. Just like how weather storms pass, often storms in life pass as well. Like Katie, it's about putting one foot in front of the other sometimes, to just keep on moving as much as we can. And eventually things will lighten and brighten and we'll find ourselves on the other side of the storm. It's tough in the middle of it. But just like previous storms that we may have passed through in life, this too shall pass. And like the disciples on the boat in the middle of the gale, thinking that they were going to die, we too can remember that Jesus is present with us by his Spirit. We can turn to Jesus and find an inner calm, and find perspective, and find wisdom, and find support from his people along the way. But of course, having faith in God doesn't mean that the storm will pass. Often it will, but there's no guarantee. Sometimes there's a finding of God's grace in the ongoing storm that helps us be in the thick of it without being swallowed up by it or getting hypothermic. So this morning we're remembering Jesus in his worst storm, his betrayal, arrest, fixed trial, torture and execution. The clouds had rolled in, the winds of injustice were blowing hard, the reign of the powerful was inescapable, the situation was hopeless. There was no light on the horizon. And yet in that coldest, darkest of times, 3 days later, Jesus comes back to life. Calm is restored. Hope is realized. Love wins. And Jesus speaks the words, "Peace I give you." And he asks a question about our faith. Do you love me? This is what we're remembering today in communion. That Jesus went through the seemingly hopeless storm, weathering it for all humanity and for you and me, to show us God's ways in the midst of evil. Everybody here is welcome to join in with communion. It's for all who love Jesus and want to love him more. Me anoi tātou. Let's pray together. God who is in the storm and who has power to bring calm, we turn our hearts to you this morning. We praise you for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you for your care and presence when we are in the midst of a storm, and how you help us trust you more through that storm. Build our faith, we pray. We record you saying to share in this simple meal to remember you. We confess our sin to you now. And we receive your forgiveness. Jesus, you died and rose again because of your great love. And so as we take this bread and this juice, please remind us of your love and grow our love for you and others. Amen. So during this time of communion, you may like to reread our passage, which is going to be on the screen, and talk to God. Maybe probably in your head, probably not out loud. What stands out to you? What might God be saying to you or to us through this? So I encourage you to think about that as we have this time. Can we have a couple of people that would be willing to serve us communion today, please? Oh, thanks, Mouse. Oh, thanks, Leanne. That's great. So when you're ready, please feel free to come.